Wow.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show. My producer, Richard, decided to choose a few of the music cues today, and I think since we were talking about what's going on in college, I think choosing the good, the bad, and the ugly could not have been more perfect. Thank you for that, Richard. Well, welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me at bruce@bruceallen.com or follow me on Twitter at Bruce Allen. I have a very special guest for the first time on my show, Dr. Jennifer Weberman. She is a psychologist and parent coach with over a decade of experience helping children, teens, and parents empower themselves in positive ways. She has been affectionately referred to as the super nanny of Springfield, as she has helped hundreds of families restore peace to their homes. She has directed all 7 of Mount Carmel Guild's hospital-based psychiatric programs, including 3 youth-based programs. Dr. Weberman now shares everything she has learned as a psychologist and parent coach on her new blog, theparentingplayground.com, where parents can find tools and strategies for dealing with topics such as discipline, nutrition, advocating for your special needs child, marital challenges, and much more. Welcome to the Bruce Allen Show, Dr. Weberman.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Well, you and I have gotten to know each other online, virtually, and that is one of the beauties I just adore about social media. You live across the country from me. We've now exchanged a handful of emails, a handful of tweets. We've talked on the phone, and now you're a guest on my radio show. I mean, is that amazing?
It is. It's been such a short period of time, and then through the world of social media, you and I have connected, and it feels amazing.
I happen to love that. Dr. Weberman joined Dad Chat for the first time last week and evidently had a great, fun time. I think she was a little overwhelmed by the speed and pace of it, but she was quite engaged and engaging, as you will obviously see when we talk about our topic today.
It was brain exercise being on that show.
That's what I call it.
It's such an adventure.
That's what I call it. Well, you'll get better at it. It really, you'll find like anything else you do repeatedly, you know, practice makes perfect. So you will get better if you join it again, and I hope you will. I am what I call a layman expert. And that is, unlike yourself, I did not go to school to learn about parenting or psychology. I was a psych major, but I didn't go further to the tune of being a therapist and understanding and dealing with the issues that you deal with on a daily basis. So what I've written and spoke about throughout my new career, the second career of mine, is marital issues, relationships, divorce, and raising boys, because I just have boys. I do not talk about girls, because I cannot really bring any firsthand experience or any educational background to it. But you, on the other hand, have a lot to say about teen daughters and, as you call it, conversation landmines. So where would you like to go with that incredibly good and new topic for my show?
Oh, great. So, you know, it's an interesting experience. I've been a teenage girl, so that's
really
figure. So that's the best experience, more than the training. But in my practice, I work at this issue from both sides. And I've got the moms and the dads coming to me, and I've also have the teenage girls in my office. So I see both sides of the coin. And from the moms and dads' perspective, I really empathize because they had their sweet little girl who, you know, wanted to share every juicy detail of her day and was, you know, just very engaged. And then all of a sudden, one day, it seems like she disappeared. And in her place is this eye-rolling, deep-sighing, text-messaging alien. And it's like, where did my daughter go? I constantly feel like I'm doing the wrong thing. And, you know, I don't know how to navigate this.
Well, I could say the same thing for boys, but I do. I have actually heard repeatedly, and I actually would love you to address this. I have heard that now, unlike when I was a teen, most parents would agree, especially those that have both boys and girls, that raising the teen girl is harder than the teen boy. Have you found that to be true in your practice, or that you're dealing with? I think there's sometimes bigger problems with the boys, and of course, if God forbid there's suicide, we both know that the boys tend to do more violent means and are often more successful. Though the girls, and this applies to adults as well, will try it more.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely statistically differences between boys and girls. Although a lot of what we're going to be talking about today in reference to girls is just as easily going to apply to boys. And I think sometimes it just applies to people in general. You could use some of this stuff on your spouse. But I think that with girls, it tends to be more intense, a more emotionally volatile.
You mean a woman is more emotionally volatile than a man? What a stunning revelation.
Gosh. Did I go on record saying that?
Wow, I can't believe you couldn't have gone to college. I thought we're all the same.
Wouldn't life be so boring if boys and girls were exactly the same?
Exactly. I don't even understand why that is occasionally put out there. Why do we want to be the same? I want to learn from you, and hopefully you want to learn from me.
Absolutely. And the female brain does have, I won't bore everybody with the biology of it, but there are some key differences in the female brain than the male brain. And you see a lot of these differences when they become teenagers.
Well, the key difference I often think of is shoes. You know,
yes.
Women have this thing for shoes, and I have to believe it's hardwired.
It must be that double X chromosome.
Yeah, I don't know. Other than that, I mean, I don't know what it is. It's really, really sort of sad. Back to teen girls.
Well,
so, what are the parents bringing to you? What problems?
They're just feeling like they can't say anything without the explosion. And that's why I call them conversation landmines, because you're just going along your business and all of a sudden there's this explosion. And, you know, from the girl's perspective, they've got these hormonal changes, physical changes in their body. The complexities of girl world are so important to them. They want the freedom of getting older, but they want the comfort and security of being younger. Emotions are heightened, and so when these both parties come together, it's really tough, and it's my role to help everyone find that common ground and avoid the landmines. And there's a couple of, I identified seven in an article that I wrote.
Yes, please,
seven
share
things
some of them.
To avoid. They're really about the don'ts,
okay, please,
of talking to a teenage girl.
And they might apply to boys as well?
Absolutely. And like I said, some of this stuff you could probably even use on your spouse, but for sure, I have had teen girls read this article and say, literally, if my parents did all seven of these things, my life would be perfect.
Well, let's get started.
Okay, so number one, when your daughter comes to you with a problem or an issue that she's facing, parents have a tendency to tell her exactly how to fix it.
Especially dads.
Yes. Oh, well, dads are the problem solvers.
Right. That's our job. Fix it.
Exactly. And I think also it has to do with, as a parent, you know, since your child was little, a lot of your role is teaching and instructing. This is how you tie your shoes, how to ride a bike, this is how you do fractions.
Interesting, and now you have to kind of pull back from that.
Exactly. As soon as they reach their teenage years, that actually becomes the opposite of what they want to hear. Girls sometimes just want to express themselves to their parents. This is an issue I'm facing, this is a problem I'm having with a girl at school. They want to vent, they want to get it out. And when a parent responds with, you know, for example, let's say it's a social issue, and parents want to say something like, well, just ignore her when she acts like that, or, you know, don't hang out with her if she's going to, you know, make you uncomfortable, or, you know, I'm struggling with a class at school, well, you should stay after for extra help. All of that, although it's well-intentioned, actually sends the message of, I have no confidence in your ability to think of these things for yourself, so I need to actually tell you what to do. And girls tell me all the time, it makes me feel like I'm a little kid or that I can't figure it out for myself. I don't want you to solve it for me. I just want you to listen.
You are talking about my wife now.
Yes, absolutely.
You haven't even met her. How did you know?
Oh, my goodness. It's that female brain.
Okay, go on with some more don'ts. These are fascinating.
Okay, so another don't is when there's a problem that she's dealing with, having her, explaining to her, this is why it's your fault. So, for example, you know, that's what happens when you act like that. Or, well, if you had just listened to me in the first place, you wouldn't be in this mess. All of that, it's like, when you see someone banging their head against the wall and complaining that they have headaches, you really want to say to them, you know, if you stop banging your head against the wall, your headaches will go away. But when you're a teenage girl, actually pointing out how you are responsible for your own problems, rather than facilitating a meaningful conversation that would allow them to connect the dots for themselves, comes across as shaming. And as soon as they get triggered with shame, they will defend to the bitter end. I have girls in my office tell me, I know my mom is right. I know my dad is right. But I'm not going to tell them that because they're blaming me.
So what do you do? What do you do when they bring that problem and you see them doing something so blatant as the headache example? What are you supposed to do?
You just start a conversation with them. Wow, it seems like this is, you know, I notice that this is happening a lot. Let's talk about this. Let's put our heads together and see if we can figure something out. Oh, so it seems like when you do this, this is the response that you get. I'm wondering. I love the phrase, I'm wondering. I'm wondering if there's a different way that you can approach this that might get you more success. Any kind of conversation, but asking permission first to have that conversation so that it's not unsolicited.
Okay, we're believe it or not, we're almost out of time. So give me one more takeaway, one more tidbit, one more gem.
Oh, gosh, that's tough. How could I narrow it down? You know, overreacting and underreacting is another huge one. The overreaction is when your emotions get heightened by something she's sharing with you, and you know you've done this if she says to you, stop freaking out, or just forget I said anything. What you've done is you've activated her anxiety, and now she's shutting down.
Wow.
And the underreacting is more about minimizing that sort of like, don't be so dramatic. It's not such a big deal. There are people out there who would love to have your problems. All of that, I think what's really surprising to parents is they find out that girls will sometimes test the waters. There's something else they want to share with you,
but they're not sure
how you're going to respond. So they share something smaller first to see how you react. And if they trust your reaction, then they'll tell you the real thing.
All right. We are out of time. Will you please come back on my show?
Oh, I'd love to.
Oh, my gosh. We have to finish the don't list because, see, I'm dealing with the most hormonally challenged situation in life. My wife has been in menopause for 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
In fact, I've never known her not in menopause. So
let's have her on the show, too.
I need some help. Where can our listeners find you, Dr. Weberman?
Okay, so the parentingplayground.com is my blog, and that's where we post articles related to parents. And then my personal website for my coaching practice is jenniferweberman.com.
Okay, and that's with one N, jenniferweberman.com.
Two N's.
I'm sorry.
And one B.
Okay, that's Weberman with two N's. Thank you very much. We'll be back for some closing remarks after these words.